Psalms 53 and 1. I'm sure probably many of you could quote this verse without any trouble. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Amen. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. In chapter 10, or Psalms 10, beginning with verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursings and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor, and when he draweth him into his net, he croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Amen. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. Amen. He hideth his face. He will never see it. That's the false security of the wicked. Amen. They think that God doesn't see, and if he does see, that he soon forgets. If you'd allow us to read just a couple more verses over in chapter 14, Psalms 14. And again, it repeats what we had already read in Psalms 53 and 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Amen. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge. Read up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. There are they in great fear. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generations of the righteous. He has shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Amen. Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. We'll go back tonight to the first verse of this psalm. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. We need the Lord's help tonight. And I believe he will. You know anything about the scripture at all, when you read the Bible, you will notice that there are several words in various scriptures that are in italics. Those words that are in italics was put in there by the translators so that we could better perhaps understand the intended meaning from the original manuscripts. But in this verse, the two words were not in the original manuscripts, and those two words were "there is." Amen. And leaving those words out and reading it as it was in the original manuscripts, the fool has said in his heart, "No God. No God." Amen. Lord, help us tonight. We'd like to take perhaps a little different direction. We feel the Lord would help us to do this. We're going to talk about the fool and no God. The fool and no God. Don't think that probably all the fools were living in the Old Testament times. There are a lot of people today that have turned out to be very foolish. Webster's definition of the word fool, he says, he's a brilliant man. Everybody pretty well acknowledges his capabilities in the English language. He says, a fool is a person lacking in judgment or prudence, an idiot. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
A moron.
Right.
An imbecile. One who is mentally defective. The fool has said in his heart, "No God." Amen. I don't know where you stand in this definition of the fool tonight. But if you don't know God, you'll find yourself in one of these definitions. Amen.
Amen.
You go to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and look up the word fool. He says stupid. My wife don't like that word. I try to get around that sometimes. I say something about being stupid in the pulpit, and she kind of frowns, so I use other words, like imbecile. Amen. Nugacity. And she got after me one time for using stupid, so I went to the dictionary and I found out that nugacity means the same thing, and I said to her something about somebody was full of nugacity. She said, "Don't use those big words on me." I said, "Okay, they're stupid." Amen. Amen. Are y'all here?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So Strong said, the word fool means stupid, wicked, vile person. Amen. Cause to despise. That's what we want to talk to you tonight a while. The Lord will help us. The fool and no God. Amen. We have a lot of people today that wouldn't go so far as to say that they don't believe there is a God.
Amen.
Amen. They have not that brash or that not that much of a heathen yet. Amen. They haven't gone so far as to say there is no God. But they have put up a large banner over their heart. No God, please, for me. Amen. 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 The beginning of wisdom. Amen. Knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. If you have no desire for God, find yourself in one of these definitions of what the fool is. Amen. A person lacking in judgment. Amen. Or prudence. An idiot. An imbecile. Somebody said, "Don't call me that." Well, amen. I'm just reading to you what the Bible said. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. Amen. Amen. You don't know it tonight, but these preachers that preach to you all the time are trying to spare you from going to hell. That's their only motive and intention, is keeping you out of eternity lost. Amen. Amen. And the only way that you can stay out of eternity lost is to listen to what they have to say, and not only believe that there is a God, but accept Him into your own heart. Amen. Oh, God, come by here tonight. We are living in a generation that even in the church world, Christians, we have been desensitized to sin. We are no longer affected by what we see and the gross immorality of our time. Help me here. Amen. I remember I'm just an old country boy, and we was raised on the farm, poor folks. I go back so far as I remember the old binders and the thrashing machines. Amen. That was before the new combines come along. Amen. But I remember as a boy in our community where we lived, I remember the first time that I ever saw a woman smoke a cigarette. Amen. Amen. Y'all listen to me. Amen. I don't remember her name through the years, but I can see her vividly in my mind. I remember what she looked like. Amen. Help me here. And in those days, it was an unheard of thing for a woman to smoke. Amen. Help me here. I mean, it's something that just didn't happen. Not even among the sinners. Amen. Not even among the sinners. The women folks didn't smoke. Praise God. There was some means of morality that people lived by in those days, whether they were saved or unsaved. There were certain principles that they held in high esteem. Oh, God, help me here. Amen. But that experience as a boy so shocked me as a child, seeing a woman for the first time smoke a cigarette. It has been indelibly stamped upon my mind, and I have never forgotten it. Amen. All through the years. But we're living in a society now, help me, amen, that it's an accepted part of our society. That if a woman doesn't smoke, she is very odd. Amen. Help me, Lord. Praise God. Amen. But I want to tell you, this generation has so, degenerated. Amen. Until a woman can tell a far worse dirty joke and filthy joke in a mixed group of people and never blush, but rather laugh. Amen. Help me here. We have been desensitized to sin, that we are no longer shocked by the immorality of our time. Help me, Lord. I remember the first time that, oh God, shall I not? I remember the first time that Amen. There was a homosexual that came through our community and stayed with some of the neighbors. Amen. And everybody in the community, help me here. Amen. We're so aroused because of the presence of that character in our community. Our community wasn't a Christian community by any means. They were just common, ordinary farming people. But they had principles. They had character. They had morals. Help me here. Amen. Until the community rose up. Amen. And went to the neighbor and asked that party, amen, be please taken out of our community. Lest that they affect the children. Help me here. Ah, brother, but we are being so desensitized in our society that it is not only accepted, but it is protected by the laws of our legislature. Amen. Help me here. Praise God. And not only is it protected by the laws of the land and the legislature, amen, but our communities and our, amen, the church world has become so infested, amen, with sinning crowd, amen, and sinning Christians, until we accept them, amen, into the arms of the church without ever expecting them to make a confession and repentance of their sin. I'm talking about the fool and no God. In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 2, Solomon said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Amen. Amen. In chapter 1, in verse 16, he said, I commune with mine own heart. Amen. Verse 17, he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom, that is, the wisdom of the world, and to know madness and folly. Amen. And he said, I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Amen. The words vanity and vanities, if you're even interested, you may not even be. But it's mentioned 37 times in 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Help me here. Oh, brother. And it simply means emptiness, falsity, futility. Amen. There's nothing to it when it comes to the end of it. I'm going to take my time tonight. Amen. Solomon said, amen, I said in my own heart. I said in here, amen, I will prove thee with mirth, enjoy pleasure. Amen. He never asked advice of the older men. He never asked advice. Amen. From the elders of Israel. He never did, amen, go to the penned writings of his own father and inquire, amen, what his father thought about what he was fixing to do. If he'd went to the penned writings of his own daddy,
Amen. And read where his daddy said, "Restore unto me thy Holy Spirit, the joy of thy salvation, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And he had read the history of his father's writings, he would have understood what the end of his pleasure would have been. Amen. Help me here. Oh God, he never inquired of the elders. He never inquired of older men. He never went to the pen record of his own dad. He never inquired of God. He just said in his own heart, "Amen, I will go and I will enjoy pleasure. Amen, there is nothing under the sun that I withheld my heart from." And he come to the end and he said, "All is vanity, 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 and vexation of the spirit." I'm here to tell you, you're not the first one that is embarked on the road, amen, that you're going tonight. You're not the only one that's tried that road. There's others that's tried it before you. Amen. David tried it and he lost the joy of the Lord. Solomon tried it and his heart was turned from God and he realized the futility of the way that he was going. Somebody say amen.
There's an old song that we used to sing years ago, "You can't do wrong and get by." No matter how much you may try, Solomon said, "Come and indulge. I will indulge in the pleasures of the flesh. Nothing that I withheld my heart from. I enjoyed it." But he said the end of it is empty. The end of it is vanity. And he got down to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Amen. Help me here. And he said, "All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments." Amen. He realized when he come to the end of his life that all that he had indulged in and all that he allowed his heart to go into, amen, and to enjoy the pleasures of, amen, led him to a dead-end road of heartache and heartbreak, amen, and separation from God and everything that was right and everything that was holy and everything that was good. Amen. It separated him, amen, from the church. It separated him from the preacher. It separated him from his family. It separated him from his loved ones. It separated him from his children. It separated him from everything that he had held dear through the years. Great God, help me here. In 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 33, David, at the funeral of his dear friend Abner, as David followed along behind the casket, going to the cemetery to be buried, help me here. Amen. David was heard and overheard muttering these words, "Amen, amen, died Abner, amen, as a fool died." Amen. What he was saying of Abner was, "You've been a moron. Amen. You lacked in judgment. Amen. Abner, you played the part of a fool. There weren't any chains on your hands that brought you back to face Joab. You knew that Joab was a treacherous man. Amen. And you knew that you slew Joab's brother. And you knew that if you came back, you put your own life in danger and on the line. You were already out of the city gates. And if you'd have just kept going in the direction you were going, amen, you'd have been a free man and alive today.
Amen. But when you turned around and came back to meet your adversary, you were a fool. Amen. I have you to know tonight that God, by the sweet Holy Ghost, amen, has come into this sanctuary tonight, and by His holy presence, amen, has chose to deal with your heart and plead and tug at your heartstrings, and I play the tune of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. This is the way. Follow this road and you'll have peace.
Go from the house of God. Go from the presence of the Lord. Help me, God. Help me, God. I read in the New Testament when Jesus got pretty strong on some of his doctrinal points. Amen. That the Bible said, and many of his disciples walked with him no more. They turned around and left him. Help me here. And Jesus turned to his 12 and said, will you also go? Amen. And I thought to myself, where does a man go when he leaves the presence of God? Amen. Help me here. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, I believe, amen, of the story of Cain and Abel. Amen. And down, halfway down through the chapter, it said that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Where does a man go when he leaves the house of God? Where does a man go when he leaves the altar? Where does a young lady go when she leaves the pleading of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost that is tugging at her heart and the Word of God and the sanctity of God's house? Amen. I'll tell you, you start on that long road into that far country of where that will leave you empty, and it will leave you desperate, and it will leave you desolate. Amen. It'll sell your virginity, amen, for a little morsel of meal of this world's pleasure. Amen. It'll blow your mind and burn your mind out and your brain's on pleasures of drugs and leave you a helpless vegetable that cannot even tie your own shoes. I'm talking about sin. Amen. A fool when he says, no, God, please. Some years ago, I pastored a church in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas. And we used to have in those days what we called cottage prayer meetings. They're almost unheard of in these times. Everybody's too busy. Hello. We had a prayer meeting in Sister Gage's home, and she lived on a back street of the Oak, off of Buckner Boulevard, out in Pleasant Grove area. Amen. And you'd go down the street and turn a 90 degree turn, and her house is right on the corner. Amen. We was having a wonderful prayer meeting that night. The presence of God was there. I mean, it just seemed like it came down and hovered in that little cottage prayer meeting. There's probably a dozen saints there. Amen. Great God, I'm a feeling the presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. Amen. And we preached a little as we could. Feeble as we could, explaining, amen, the wonderful works of God. And the presence of the Lord just came down in that prayer meeting. Amen. It interrupted the preaching. Amen. Somebody spoke in tongues, and saints started praying. Mr. Gage wasn't a Christian. Amen. And he sat in the corner, and he listened. Amen. And when God's presence come down in that place, he sat there in tears, run out of his, amen, eyes and down his cheeks and drift off onto his clothes. Amen. Sensing that God was there to do a work of grace in his heart. Amen. We turned all of our attentions, amen, upon him, praying with him and for him. Mr. Gage, would you give your heart to God? And he sat there weeping. Not a hard spirit. Help me here. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? He was sensitive. He knew that God was in that prayer meeting. Amen. And he sat there until he shook in that little cane bottom chair. Amen. And after a while, he come to a point and he said, not tonight. Amen. Wait till Sunday and I'll come to church and I'll pray. Amen. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
We prayed a while longer and prayed a while. Amen. Oh, amen. Gradually the tears dried up. Amen. And his mind was set. And you could sense that the Holy Presence began to lift. I don't know whether you've been in a meeting like that or not. Amen. But it's the grieving of the Spirit. Amen. Help me, Lord. We prayed with him till after midnight. Amen. And he said, Sunday I'll come. Amen. And we left the house that night, heavy in our spirits, and went home. The next morning, about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, he got up as he always did. Amen. They ate breakfast. He got in his little Chevrolet pickup truck, and he went out around to the different restaurants and schools and would collect garbage and take them out to his farm and feed them to his herd of pigs and hogs. And he started down the street, and he went down to Buckner Boulevard. Amen. And turned left and went around and crossed underneath the 2nd Avenue, which was a 4-lane highway overhead, and trapped lights on both sides where the ramps would intersect off of the 4-lane highway. And when he got there, amen, very, very early in the morning, no other cars on the highway, hardly but him. Amen. And the lights were blinking yellow. Amen. On his side of the road. And so he just proceeded on through the intersection. And he got past the first one. And when he came into the 2nd intersection, there was a semi, amen, tractor and trailer, dump truck that came off of the highway loaded with gravel. Amen. And the traffic light was malfunctioning. And that one coming off of the ramp had a green light. And Mr. Gates had a caution blinking light. And there they met in the intersection. Amen. And that truck drove his pickup across the highway and up into the other side of the bridge until his face was embedded in the dash of his truck, and they had to cut him out. Great God. Amen. The police officer said he never knew what hit him. He was hurled into eternity. Amen. In a split second of time. Amen. And when Sister Gates called us, amen, shortly after that, amen, we said, my God, we should have stayed till daylight and pled with that man for his soul. If we had only known that that was his day of visitation, and that was his last day of visitation. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Amen. He was a fool. Amen. Because he said, no God. No God tonight. Amen. And met his maker before sunrise the next morning. Who had said in his heart, no God, no God, no God. The church where I presently pastor in Virginia, we had a young man come to church. He'd been in some trouble with the law and was facing a prison term. He came to church one night and prayed at the altar. young man in his early 20s. Polite, one of the most polite young men that I have ever met in all of my life. Even before he was saved, he was always courteous. It was always, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, amen. He was very mannerly. Oh, God, help us tonight. And that night, Jesse came to the altar and prayed. Nice, a handsome young man, blonde-headed, and prayed good. Oh, he stayed in the house of God. The time came for him to go to a hearing, amen, before the judge, and we went and pleaded with the judge for leniency because he had made some changes in his life. Are y'all listening? Amen. And, amen, the judge was lenient. Amen. And merciful. And you could count on it if the church doors was open. Amen. Jesse was there. You didn't have to worry about Jesse being at the church house. He was there. Amen. Didn't matter whether it's raining or snowing or sleeting. If there was church, Jesse was there. Amen. And almost a year later, amen, one night he missed a midweek service night. Amen. We thought a little bit about it and said, wonder where Jesse was tonight. Amen. Y'all listen to me. Amen. Sunday came. Amen. And no Jesse come to church. Amen. The next day we went to visit him, or a day or two after that. And in their little trailer house where he lived with his parents. Amen. He said, yes, sir, Brother Savage. He said, I missed it. I should have been there. Amen. I'm coming back. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. But Jesse never come back. Amen. Every time we had seen, amen, we'd talk to him about the Lord and about coming back to church. Yes, sir. I need to. I should never got out this far. Amen. I'll be there. Amen. He never come. And one night, amen, God help us. The wife was on the way to church one night and she passed Jesse on the road, and she had such a burden hit her for Jesse that she stopped her car and turned around and followed him down the road. And amen, he pulled over and stopped, and she talked to him about the Lord in his soul. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Amen. And he sat there in the car and wept and cried. Amen. And she said, Jesse, the Lord wants to help you. And he said, I know it, and I've got to. He said, I promise you, I'll be at church this weekend. Amen. Amen. Let me go, Sister Savage, and I promise you, I'll be at church this weekend. Amen. She let him go in the car. Amen. Saturday night service came. His mother, Sister Grigsby, had such a meeting that night, she shouted all over the house. Praise God, the Lord knew she was going to need that blessing. Amen. We got out of service and decided to go up to the store on the highway. Amen. To get a Pepsi before we went home. And when we turned off of 729, left on 211. Amen. To go down to the store that was open. When we got down less than a quarter of a mile from the intersection, red lights and ambulance and the police officers and cars everywhere. And I stopped and went across the median. Amen. And met my church deacon coming across, and he said, oh my God, Brother Savage, he said, it's awful. It's Jesse. Amen. I said, where is he? What happened? He said, he's dead. He's gone. Amen. Help me here. I'm talking to you about the fool has said in his heart, no God, no God. Amen.
the urgency of this service tonight. This is the most important service that you'll ever be in your whole life. Somebody said you make it sound important. It is important. You make it sound urgent. It is urgent. You make it sound like it's an emergency. It is an emergency. It is your soul that is hanging in the balance.
The fool has sin in his heart. No God. No God. The Bible said today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. In the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Amen. There's a man, the Bible said, Jesus spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Amen. Would you allow me to paraphrase here? Amen. With a little savage commentary. Amen. A certain person sat in Pennyroyal Hill. Amen. Holding his church. Amen. And they said in their heart, what shall I do tonight? Shall I give in and surrender to that pleading that I feel in my heart? Shall I go to the altar, amen, and repent and confess? Or shall I go to that party, amen, that I got planned for this weekend? Help me here. Amen. Shall I go to that place of amusement and entertainment? Amen. The schedule for tomorrow night. I'm here to tell you, amen, this is the most important service, amen, you will ever be in your whole life. For it is in this service that God has chose, amen, to pull the heartstrings of your heart, amen, and bid you to come, amen, and to come now, amen, not next week, now. Oh, God, help me. What shall I do? Amen. Where shall I bestow all of my goods? Amen. I've had a bumper crop. Amen. Amen. I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up. Amen. Y'all hear me? He said, I will tear down my barns, and I will build bigger barns and greater barns, and there will I bestow all of my goods. Amen. But God said, you're an idiot, you're an imbecile, you're a moron, for you have left God out of your life. You have left God out of your plans. It wasn't wrong for you to have a bumper crop harvest, and it wasn't wrong to build bigger barns to bestow them. Amen. But you made no plans or provisions for your soul. Amen. You made no exceptions for God. Thou fool, this night. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Do then whose shall these things be? If you would allow me tonight,
I'm trying to help some soul. We are living in a generation where professionalism, amen, has embarked upon the doors of our churches.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
Amen. 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 Most of our Pentecostal churches now are so full of talent that we have become a talent show exhibition. We know how to do it. If God don't come by, we'll just carry on anyhow. Help me here. Somebody say amen. Don't fall out with me. I'm trying to help some soul. Amen. That's trudging toward eternity at 72 heartbeats a minute. Amen. At breakneck speed and you seem like you can't stop. Amen. I want to tell you. Amen. This is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Amen. Oh God. We are so eat up these days with talents and abilities. And I'm not against music. No, sir, I'm not. Amen. I'm not against music. And I'm not against singing. Amen. I like it. Praise God. But we are become, amen, we are fastly becoming professional in our church worship to where we leave no place for the Holy Ghost to fall. We need to leave no place for Holy Ghost interruptions. We need to leave no place for the power of God to deal in holy conviction with souls that are dying and going to hell. Amen. I'm telling you here tonight, amen, there must be somebody in this place, amen, that is nearing eternity. Amen. God is dealing with your soul. Amen. Don't be a fool and turn God off and say not tonight. The fool said in his heart, oh God, oh God. I walked across the median strip and I saw Jesse's car over the embankment. It had thrown him out of the wreckage and he was pinned underneath of it. When the car landed, shattered his life into eternity. I asked the police officer, it was his first, amen, after coming out of training, state police training for being a police officer, that was his first fatality to investigate. Amen. Young officer. And he himself was visibly shooken. Amen. And I said to him, sir, how long do you think he had before he died? I was curious to know whether or not he had time to pray. I knew he knew how to pray. I knew he knew the value of prayer. And I knew that he knew he needed to pray. And I said, sir, amen, how long before his life was gone? He said, 3 seconds, 6 seconds at the longest. Amen. Help me, God. Standing before God. Standing before an angry God. Help me here. I'm talking to you about your soul. That's the most valuable possession that you've got in this world. Amen. People can take everything you've got from you. They can take your home. They can take the shirt on your back. They can take the shoes off of your feet. Amen. They can take your automobile. Amen. They can take everything you own. Amen. But your soul is the only thing they cannot take from you. Amen. And your soul is valuable. Amen to you. Help me here. No God, please. No God tonight, preacher.
Wait till the weekend. Amen. You may not be in church in the weekend.
Amen.
Oh God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. God doesn't see. And God will forget. Amen. And God will turn the leaf of another day. And it'll be as it always was. You're only fooling your own self. You will never be the same after you leave this service tonight as you were before you come. Hello. You cannot grieve God's Holy Spirit and stay the same. You cannot shut the door in God's face. Amen. And against the Holy Ghost that has tugged and dealt with you and shut the door and insult His Spirit. Are y'all listening to me? And stay the same. You won't do that. Amen. The next time you hear somebody preach, you may be in another service. Amen. But you'll not feel the tug that you feel tonight. Amen. You may be back for service tomorrow night and hear this old Virginian, amen, preach to you again. Amen. But you'll not feel the same urgency tomorrow night that you feel tonight. Your heart will be further from God. You'll be a little bit harder. Help me here. And it'll take more to reach you. Amen. This is the most important time. Amen. Amen. Say, yes, Lord. I surrender all. I give up. No, God, please. The tragedy of life is that there are so many that got out of church that never intended to go as far as they did and never intended to stay as long as they have. Oh, God. A few years ago, I was sitting in the living room of a young man, a backslider, and I've known him, I guess, all of his life. And this particular time, he is probably late 20s, early 30s. And I sat there in that service and or in that home and talk to him about his soul. I knew him when he was a child. He grew up in church. At one time he was a song leader in the holiness church, and the glory of God would come down. Now I've seen Don, amen, leading song service, and he had false teeth. Amen. Help me here. Y'all stay with me. Amen. Don, amen, would lead song service like you've never seen anybody lead songs. I mean, he got into it, and the power of God would fall. And he'd get the singing, and the glory would fall, and his false teeth would fly out of his mouth. And he'd reach out and grab them in midair, cram them in his pocket, and shout, praise God. Didn't embarrass him at all, just kept right on shouting. Amen. I sat in his living room. Amen. Talked to him as a backslider. Amen. And I said, Don, amen, do you remember when you used to go to church? And I called the place where. And I said, the power of God would fall and you'd feel that glory. Amen. And that blessed anointing would come on you. And you'd shout and run the house. Amen. He sat there a few minutes and listened. Amen. And tears run down his cheeks. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Savage, do you think that I can forget that easy? Amen. He said, I go to bed with it. And I wake up with it. Amen. Help me here. He said, I can't get away from it. I said, well, Don, amen, if it's that strong on your mind, amen, that's telling you that God, amen, is dealing with your soul. Amen, He wants you to come home. Y'all listen to me. Amen. Praise God. And he said to me, Brother Savage, amen, I will. I promise you, I will. I will. I promise you. Amen, I will. Amen. I looked at him and I said, Don, how long's it been since you've been to church? And the glory rolled in your soul and it's felt like tidal waves from the glory world sweeping in your heart. Amen. I said, Don, how long has it been? Amen. And he looked at me through tear-stained eyes and he said, I don't know, Brother Savage, it's been a long time. I said, how long, Don? Tell me, how long's it been? Amen. Amen. He said, it's been several months. I said, how long, Don? Tell me, how long has it been? And he sat there and sobbed and shook all over. Amen. And he said, Brother Savage, it's been 8 long years. Amen. Y'all listen to me. He said, I've been out longer than I planned to. I never thought it'd be this long. Amen. That's been many years ago. And tonight he is still out. And the last time I talked to him, his heart was hardened, as hardened case-hearted nails. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, you don't fool with God. Your soul is valuable. You don't stay tender all of your life. It is while God's Spirit tugs at you, amen, that those who come into God, amen, is drawn by the Spirit. And no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. And you need to come, amen, while that Holy Presence is here in this service, tugging at your heart. I could ask you tonight, how long has it been since you prayed at the altar and the glory swept over you? Think, has it been a week? Has it been 2 weeks? Has it been a month? Or 6 months? Has it been a year? Or 3 years? Amen. I want to tell you, the further you go on that backward road, the closer you're going to meet your adversary, Joab. And you're going to find yourself run through with the sword of sin. Amen. And your consciousness will leave this world and wake up in another. The fool had said in his heart, no God. No God. Sometimes I feel like, brethren, that we don't warn people enough of the dangers of backsliding. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take long to get in that far country, but it takes such a long time, seems like, to get back from that far country. You get in that far country and riotous living and wild partying sooner than you expected. It doesn't take long to get there. Amen. 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 When the prodigal son left father's house with the goods that he had in his pockets, he immediately went to the far country and spent all that he had on riotous living. That's right. It doesn't take long to get in that far country. Amen. One step between the church door and the far country. That's all. One step. One step between the church door and the far country. That's all. And you find yourself way out there. You say, Brother Savage, but there's so many things I'm tied up in now, I can't get loose. That's a result of sin. And amen, spending all in riotous living in that far country. Amen! talked to a young man here not long ago. Amen. He said, "Preacher, I want to quit drinking, but I can't. Amen. I am driven to it. I am incensed by it. And the smell of it drives me crazy until I get the taste of it. Amen. In my mouth. God help us." I want to tell you, it doesn't take much to get into that far country. And when you get there, amen, it's not easy to get back, amen, to the altar. And you ought to consider yourself privileged tonight to sit in this church service at Pennyroyal Holiness Church and feel the Holy Ghost tugging at your heart. For it will not always be so. Amen. Amen. It will not always be so. You are privileged tonight. This is a golden opportunity of your life that God is pulling and tugging within your heart. Come home. Come home. While every head is bowed. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Saints, will you pray while they get a song? Oh God. Jesus, breathe upon this sanctuary. Lord, let this place be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And those precious hearts that are being weighed in the balances of eternity sense that God is here just for them tonight. For Jesus' sake. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Saints, would you pray?